Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Daniel and everyone over at the Extreme Podcast, former WWE superstar Hornswoggle here. I wanted you guys to make sure to check out this podcast. Wrestling, movies, video games, everything nerdy. Hope all goes well.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning into the Extreme Podcast. I'm your host Daniel, and in this episode I spoke with Eleanor about the paranormal. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and until next time, I'll see you guys on the flip side.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eleanor Wagner. I am an author, paranormal investigator, and a podcaster. And I'm really happy to be here today.
So this is one of my favorite questions to ask guests I have when any topics about paranormal. In your own words, describe what the word paranormal means to you. Like, what is paranormal?
Something that's not normal. Something out of the ordinary, something that's otherworldly, something that's unexplainable. I guess those all would be suitable descriptions.
Yeah. The only reason I asked that is because I've gotten surprisingly different answers from that question. Some people just specifically think of ghosts when they think of paranormal, and then other people bring in like Bigfoot and cryptids and different things like that. And so I always like to ask that question because it gets different responses every time.
You're right, Daniel. In fact, when I was writing my first book, the whole thing was going to be about the paranormal ghostly encounters in the county where I live. And the reason why I decided to write it was because I had my own personal experiences in an antique shop that I owned in town. And so when I put it out on social media to get other people's stories to add to the book, I started getting people sending me stories about Bigfoot and UFO encounters. So it's like, wait a second, that's not really technically considered ghostly. So how am I going to get it into my book? So I made the title Sussex County Hauntings, and then I added And Other Strange Phenomena, which was perfect because then I was able to put in the Bigfoot stories and the UFO stories. And it's actually worked out in the long run because with my two other books, those other strange phenomena chapters opened up a whole world of opportunities for me to write about. So in the second book, I wrote about when people were with their loved ones at their time of death. And then I wrote about people's stories when they received visits from their deceased loved ones. Those are all really like poignant, cool stories. And people love to hear about them because it talks about hope and faith and that there is some place that we go to after we pass on. And then in my last book, I used those chapters to write about near-death experiences, which are very, very interesting to hear about people who have died for several minutes and come back and hear about what it is that they actually encountered. So I'm glad that I ended up throwing that name in there and opening up those chapters to other things that were paranormal.
So you mentioned your books. Would you like to go in a little bit more about them and talk about how much they are and where you can get them?
My very first book, believe it or not, I've been writing ever since I was a kid. So My first book that I wrote was a paranormal romance. I grew up with Stephen King and Dean Koontz, and I just love horror and that kind of thing. So when I was writing that first book, yeah, it might have a romantic edge to it, but believe me, it's very King-like and very Koontz-like. So it's called Dream a Little Dream. Then I was writing my second paranormal story when I got this idea about writing true account ghost stories, because I know my town is haunted. I've been sensitive to spirits since I was a kid. So I decided to write this true account story, and I thought it was going to be only one book. And now I'm on the fourth book in the series. So it's obviously being well received. And those books are called Sussex County Hauntings and Other Strange Phenomena, Part 1 and Part 2. And then I had so many accounts that I received for Warren County that I wrote Warren County Hauntings and Other Strange Phenomena. Everybody likes a good ghost story. You don't have to live there to want to read it. I go to a new town on vacation and I always go to the bookstore and look for the latest ghost stories in that area. So who's to say that somebody that lives in Ohio is not going to want to read a ghost story from Sussex County? You can get any of my books at authoreleanorwagner.com. So you just go there and you go to the gift shop link and it'll take you right to where the books are and you can pick and choose whichever ones you want.
So to go back to kind of like some of the experiences and stuff you've talked about with researching for the books and stuff, and to your ghost hunting stuff as well, what are some of the experiences that you've had with the paranormal that stick out, I guess?
Well, as I told you, I've been sensitive ever since I was a child. I grew up in a home that was haunted with a ghost. And as a child, I was terrified because I did not understand what it was. My mom wasn't really, I wouldn't say that she wasn't receptive to that sort of thing, but she was from, you know, old country in Europe. And I guess it just never was something that she was familiar with. So when I came into her room at night, my dad and my mother, after waking up with this thing there, it was just a dream, honey. It was just a dream. So, you know, this man spirit that I was seeing, in my mom's opinion, was just a dream, and it wasn't. I stopped seeing him when I moved from the main floor of the house into the basement. When I was in the basement, I never saw him again. So he kind of like just stayed on that main floor. But I knew that I was sensitive to spirit. And then I had some premonitions when I was a kid as well. So, and I've since learned that I'm empathic, that I kind of figure that I was, but I've been told that I am. And so that's where I get a lot of this from. And so over the years, my fascination with paranormal grew, and I actually embraced it as instead of being fearful of it, because I had been afraid of it for so long, especially when I was having premonitions and they were coming true. And when they were really scary premonitions and when the scary stuff came true, you know, you kind of, you're a young kid and you're experiencing something like that, and you're just afraid of it. And so the older you get, the more you read, the more you learn. And then you reach that point in your life where you embrace it. And that's the point that I'm at right now. So I saw that spirit as a kid. And I guess I could say to you, for me, my awakening moment, again, that it should be like reawakening moment, was when I was 30, the day my dad died. And it was almost like he was trying to kick me in the ass and say, wake up, it's real. You can see spirits. Don't be afraid of it. Because he came to me and he told me that he was gone. And I have seen him several times since his passing. And since that time, when I was 30, it's just continued to happen and continued to grow for me. And the whole founding of the paranormal team that I have, the Lady Ghostbusters team, literally just fell into place, because it wasn't something that I was looking for. I had written my first book at the age of 50, I started this new career because my children were full grown and out of the house. And now it was time for Eleanor to live and do what she wants to do instead of being that Girl Scout mom and the 4-H mom and all that stuff. And so I picked up my writing again and I published that first book and was on that second one when the whole idea, as I mentioned to you, for this true account ghostly haunting series came into mind. And I started to write it. And I had this opportunity to bring a paranormal team into a location here in Sussex County called the Sterling Hill Mines. And they're in Ogdensburg, New Jersey. It at one point was an actual functioning mine, and then somewhere in the 80s it shut down and just became a museum. But the number of people that died in those mines over the years that were recorded and unrecorded was phenomenal. And so when the president said to me, bring your paranormal team in here, let us know what you come up with, I was like, yeah, great, thank you. And I'm going, I don't have a paranormal team. So I'm like, all right, so what am I going to do? Because I had often gone on weekends with girlfriends of mine to overnight places to do ghost hunts, but I never had an actual team of my own. So here I had to pull one together, and I'm thinking, all right, well, what am I going to do? So I reached out to some people that I had met over the years. And then I had reached out to people that I had interviewed for the book, who were just ordinary people like you and I, who had experiences, were sensitive to spirit, and had said to me, oh, I just would love to go on one of those investigations. And going, now's their opportunity. So I rang them up and said, you want to come on this adventure with me? And so they did. And so on that particular investigation, that very first investigation, believe it or not, I planned it for my birthday. It was my birthday. We went on this investigation with my present to me. And there was probably, I want to say, like a total of 8 or 10 of us that I had gathered together in that particular investigation. And pretty much everybody's still with me now that had gone on that original investigation. I mean, the team is comprised of like 20 people now. We don't all go on every investigation that comes up, but I like to have people on hand, especially if I get requests from people that live in homes that they have activity going on, and I want to have like a medium available or somebody with a lot of equipment. I go to the list and ask, hey, are you available? And I gather people, and I try to keep it to like 6, depending on the size of the building. Could be more if it's a smaller building, less, that kind of thing. But I like it when the sensitives are there, because they're far more gifted than I am and can actually see, hear, speak to spirit. And when you have somebody like that on an investigation, you can't beat it. But we ended up going on that first investigation in the mines. And everybody asks me, what is your favorite? I have to say, overall, that was my all-time favorite, because it was the very first one. It warranted amazing results. In fact, the footage that we got from that investigation, I ended up selecting out of everybody's videos that they handed me from that night. Because when we go, people give me their photos and the videos and stuff, because I end up using it on my website when I publish the book with that chapter in it. So I had gone through the footage and I picked the one that I thought was the best out of everything. And I sent it into Paranormal Caught on Camera, which is the Travel Channel program. And they liked it so much, they ended up doing a feature of us on their show. So when people say, hey, Eleanor, what's your favorite investigation? I have so many, but I just can't help going back to that very first one where the team was founded. I mean, that was it. You know, I just started calling us the Lady Ghostbusters, and it stuck. And I do have a lot of men on my team now who are great additions to the team, but they don't care if they're a part of the Lady Ghostbusters. They say we're paranormal investigators on the Lady Ghostbuster team. So if they're fine with that, I'm fine with that too. And, you know, it's also just a play on the names too, Dan, because, you know, I know we call ourselves Ghostbusters, but I really don't consider myself a buster of ghosts, because what I do and what our team does is really all about the spirit. It's all about getting their message through. What is it that they want to know? What is it that they want to say? I'm there, number one, to help that spirit, even if it's to help that spirit move on into the light. You know what I mean? And if the spirit doesn't want to move on to the light and they want to stay in that building that they're in, our next goal is to help the people that live there be able to live with this spirit in good standing. Because these people have moved into the home. Yeah, but they're moving into that spirit space. They were there first. You know, I always liken it to when somebody from the city moves into the country and wildlife. You know, just because you move in there doesn't mean it's your space. That wildlife has been there before you are, and you have to respect it. And I say that about spirit too. We need to respect those spirits. They were humans at one point in life, and now they're humans in death. and their personalities go with them too. They're who they were in life, they are in death. So if you had like somebody who was really nice, they could be nice in death. If you had somebody who was a real shithead in life, they're going to be really nasty and mean in death. So you kind of meet all personalities in paranormal investigations too.
So on your investigations, are there any specific tools that you use? Like, I know a lot of people use your standard, like, you know, cameras and recorders, but is there anything else that you guys take on these investigations to try to get answers?
My team is very traditional. We like to use our personal gifts first and foremost, because when we go into that with that sensitivity and all of our energies together, it really helps us to get results. But obviously having K2s with us, those are the little gadgets that light up to show that there's energy around, is very helpful. It's really great to have audio going at all time, because you never know when you're going to get that really cool EVP that you just are amazed to hear the spirit answer back when you can't hear it in actual time. And then video is always really helpful, because you never know what you're going to catch then, which, like I said, you proffered that great evidence that we had on paranormal caught on camera. And then we like to use the SLS camera, which is the best way to describe it for your listeners, is that this camera projects kind of like a stick figure in front. So if I were to go and stand in front of the lens, I would appear to the person looking on the screen as a stick figure. If I move out of the frame and you see a stick figure there, and there's nobody there, you know that that stick figure is a spirit. So that also helps us relate to the spirit, because they're going to pick what works best for them to get through to us or to communicate with us. So sometimes it could just be a wave on the SLS camera or a spirit box spitting out words. A lot of people say, I don't know if I can rely on that, but it's kind of hard to deny sometimes when you're having a conversation with spirit and you're asking them certain things, and those words that are popping out on the spirit box coincide with what you're talking about. It's not like just random words. They're words that you could really apply to the discussion that you've got going on. So that's also a way of communication. And then we also have I called that a spirit box. I meant ovulus. The spirit box is actually something that we use that has white noise in it. And you can hear voices and responses through this white noise. But in order to hear it really with great clarity, we use headsets. So to give you an idea of how that works, let's just say it's you and I together, and we're at this investigation, and we're trying to get a response from the spirit. I say, all right, Dan, you know what? You can ask the spirit the questions. I'm going to put the headset on. So I put the headset on, and sometimes people use like face masks so they can't see anything. I'm not really sure the reason for that, but some people like to use them because they feel like it helps dim out all the distractions for them, so they could really hone in on the white noise that they're hearing, because it's kind of like a kind of sound that you're hearing in your ear. So you know that I have this headset on and all I hear is the static noise. I can't hear you. So you could be talking to me and I can't hear you because all I hear is the static noise. So you start to speak to spirit and you'll say, can you give me your name? And all of a sudden I say, John. I don't know that you asked the spirit their name. I just heard this name, John, come through whatever it was that I was listening to. And so that is really cool too, because you've asked a question and we've got a legitimate response, because I didn't hear anything that you asked or said. I'm just spitting out what's coming through and what I'm hearing in my mind with this, in my hearing from this white noise. So I like that too, because it's very legitimate as well, because you know that the responses that you're getting are coming through from somebody, something on the other side that's responding to your question. So we use that a lot. And then personally me, because I can only sense spirit and see it if it wants me to see it. I call it kind of like a foofy feeling. I can go into a building and I can sense if something's there, and I can sense if it's good or bad. That's kind of like the extent of it for me. If a spirit wants me to see it, I'll be able to see it. But I use a pendulum sometimes, and I use dowsing rods sometimes. I don't know if you know what either of those are, but for your listeners, if they don't, a pendulum is just a crystal that's hanging on a chain. And I usually bring a stand with me because I like to hang it from a stand so that nothing is moving it but the spirit. And then I'll ask yes and no questions, and the spirit will be able to answer by making it go back and forth or in a circle for a yes or a no. So that's my way of being able to get some responses. Or I'll use the dowsing rods in a same manner, because a dowsing rod is the tools that they used to use back then when they wanted to locate water on land. But they're very ultra sensitive. So when you use them, you can, in the same way that I use a pendulum, use the dowsing rods. And if they open up wide when you're asking a question, it can be a yes or no answer if they cross over the bars on each other. So it's just a helpful tool for a spirit to be able to communicate with me when I'm asking questions. Plus, they use a lot of energy. So it depends on how adept the spirit is at communicating. Sometimes they don't last very long. Some are stronger than others. It kind of like just depends. And like I said, their personalities choose whichever they prefer. They even choose which paranormal investigator they want to communicate with too, because sometimes they just may not like the way you look or the way you sound or the way you're talking to them, and they'll go to somebody else that's more receptive or more in tune with them, which is fine. You know, whatever works to get the message.
It's almost like a therapy session in a way for the spirits, if you think about it, you know.
You know what, as an empath, I often personally feel like somebody's therapist, because when you're an empath, you're very sensitive to another person's emotions. And for some reason, people are drawn to you as an empath. They don't know why they want to come over to you, and they don't know why they want to spill their guts to you, but they do. So I'm oftentimes somebody's shoulder to cry on, or give them the listening ear. And because I'm an empath, I'm just able to give them advice. And I don't even question it. Whatever it is that I feel in my gut and need to say, I say it. And so, yeah, in that respect, that feels like I'm a therapist.
If you could pick anywhere in the world that has like some kind of like haunting or something that you'd like to go visit, where would it be?
I would go to Scotland or Ireland at the drop of a hat if I could. Just because of the age and the history, and just about the hauntings that I've heard, just very alive with paranormal activity, and aside from them being so beautiful from photographs that I've seen, I can only imagine it would be a field day for a paranormal investigator to go there. Castles, just the age, just, oh my goodness.
So I have a question of like, if somebody in your area has some kind of haunting going on, they wanted your team's help, is there a way that they can reach out to you?
Sure. People reach out to me through my email. It's authoreleanorwagner@gmail.com. Eleanor is E-L-E-A-N-O-R. And my last name is Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R. So you just put authoreleanorwagner@gmail.com. And I respond to people that way and make arrangements and dates to everybody's convenience.
You mentioned earlier that you had a podcast. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
I do. I have two. Somebody planted that seed. You know, you should start your own podcast. And when somebody does something like that, it stays with me. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I should look into it. So I took the summer before, no, last summer. I took last summer to teach myself how to do all this stuff. So I reached out to people in the industry that I know, because I've met a lot of people over time. And this one gentleman, Mark, was really helpful. He helped me with what equipment I should buy, where I should buy it, how to set it up from soup to nuts. He was a great help, Mark Johnson, and he helped me with everything. And he had mentioned, he goes, yeah, you know, my network is always looking for new shows. And he kind of like planted that in my head. And I'm thinking, well, let me just ask. So I said to him, well, who should I pitch my idea to in your network? He goes, me, I own half the company. So I pitched my idea to him and he liked it. And so last September, I aired my first episode with Eleanor Wagner's Strange and Scary World out of the Paranormal UK radio network or wherever you get your podcasts. So that was in September. And then probably about February, I think it was, somebody had reached out to me about, have you ever thought about doing a live show? And that kind of scared me a little bit because with the pre-recorded one with the Paranormal UK radio network, you can edit things. And if you mess up, it's easy. It's an easier fix. I mean, the editing, you know, takes hours. I mean, like one episode takes me 6 hours, but I like the fact that I could edit out all the nonsense and mistakes and stuff. With a live show, that's it. If you screw up, it's live. There's nothing you can do about it. So I was kind of like iffy about that, but this network reached out to me and they said, we don't have a paranormal show and we would really love to have one. And so I was like, okay, let's do this. So I have a live show with Coast to Coast Entertainment Network, and that one's called Eleanor Wagner's Creeping It Real. And that's bi-weekly Thursdays. Right now it's at 7 p.m., but they're looking to switch the time to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we've had some mess ups because I'm still working with the techie guy, you know, trying to learn, get a rhythm together with each other. I did, like, you have your own intro and your outro, which is so helpful. I had that on my first, Paranormal UK radio network, and I wasn't going to do it for live because he had all the stuff on his end, but it just was so messed up. So I said, you know what, I'm going to create them. So I did. I created an intro and outro, and we used them to get into the show and when we end it. But we're still working out the glitches. But for me, it's the content that's really the most important. And for those, I've had two guests so far on, because I've only had two episodes on that new live show. For me, it's, you know, meeting those people, getting to know them, and then bringing their evidence and sharing it with the world. And that's the cool part of it, because even though we might mess up something, you're still getting to watch that video or listen to that audio or see those photographs and decide for yourself whether it's something or not. And then you're hearing from these people about their experiences and what they do, because that show, the Creeping It Real, is specifically paranormal groups. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm reaching out to these paranormal groups and introducing them to the world and saying, you know, this group is from here and this is what they do. And this is evidence that they've gathered. And it's kind of like watching a paranormal show live, but it's real. It's not made for entertainment. Like all of these paranormal shows on TV, anybody that goes on a paranormal investigation knows that it doesn't happen that way. You know, I can go to one place and be there for hours and hours and have nothing happen, and we'll leave there empty-handed and go back another time, and then I might get something. And that's why you get so excited when you do, because you've been there for hours and hours and hours and nothing happens. The more sensitive people you have with you, the more likely you are to have something happen. But what I like about my show is that I'm bringing real people with real experiences onto the show, and they're sharing what has really happened. We're not making it up to entertain anybody. You could take it any way you want it. We're not trying to convince anybody, but this is what we got. This is what happened, believe it or not. And that's the part of it that I like.
So one last quick thing here before we wrap it up. Do you have anything coming up, like any kind of events or different things for like your website that you would like to elaborate on?
I don't. Okay. I don't. I just came out of a book festival that ended, and I'm working on my third book in the Sussex County Haunting series. It's the fourth book in the whole haunting series, but Sussex County is very haunted. And what I thought was going to be one book, I'm now on book three. So I'm in the midst of writing that and hoping to get that done by Halloween. And I'll be working on the audiobook for the Warren County books this summer because I do have everything on Audible already from all the other books are on Audible. So, but the new book coming out, the one that already just came out this past Halloween, The Warren County Hauntings and Other Strange Phenomena, that book will be on Audible after the summer, but I am going to be narrating it myself, which is kind of cool. A lot of people like to hear the author do the reading themselves. And people have said, you do great when you're reading. We would love to have you narrate. And so when I got the equipment for podcasting, it's the same stuff you use when you're going to go and do an audiobook. So I will be doing that by myself. And I'm excited about that. So yeah, so that's really it. I mean, we have paranormal investigations all the time. So we are going to have a paranormal investigation in the Burn Brain Mansion, which is in Glens Bay, New York. That's going to be an overnighter in August, which is, we're all really excited about that. But then I have like local places that have reached out to me, you know, a farmhouse, she said, could you bring a team in, and a local coffee place, that kind of thing. So every month I try and have something going on for the team to go and investigate, but no big events really coming up until the fall.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for coming on. I enjoyed chatting with you.
I enjoy chatting with you too. Thank you so much for having me.